Psalm 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of his most holy and sacred word. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Eternal God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we bow humbly before thy holy presence, O Lord, on this Lord's Day morning. For thou hast gathered each one of us here into thy house to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For it is by thy sovereign appointment and not by chance that we are found in thy house on yet another Lord's Day. May thou help us, O Lord, to be still and to know that thou art God, that whatever the cares and the burdens of this life may be in the lives of all thy children, teach us, O Lord, to bring it before thy throne of grace, seeking, O Lord, thy enabling and thy strength to overcome the vicissitudes of this life. We pray, Father, that thou will help us to know that thou art always in control of our lives, come what may, that the sovereignty of God is and will always lead and guide thy people, to know that nothing happens to us by chance, but always by thy appointment. And we pray, Father, that thou will fill us with thy Holy Spirit, that we may go through the trials, the testings, and the difficulties of this life with victory and with the joy of the Lord, strengthening us, encouraging us, and the hope in God to see us through all adversities. We thank thee, Father, for this church that thou hast raised, that thou hast protected, defended, and thou will continue to sustain and watch over. And we pray, O Lord, for the session, that thou will fill each one with thy Holy Spirit, that they may discharge the heavy responsibility in the nurture, the feeding, the protection of the flock with strength from on high. That they may give of their very best unto thee, O Lord, and at the end of life's journey, they may hear from thee, well done, my good and faithful servants. We pray, Father, that thou wilt help them to serve thee together with unity of heart, mind, and purpose, seeking only and always to exalt and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray also for their families, that thou wilt defend them against the attacks of the evil one. Sustain and lift them up, O Lord, that they may not be weary in well-doing, but to continue to encourage their loved ones to serve thee faithfully. We thank thee, Father, once again, for bringing thy servant, our dear Reverend Toh, into thy house this morning. We thank thee, Father, for sustaining him. And we thank thee, O Lord, for his witness and his testimony in our midst, how his life continues to be an encouragement to all of us. And we thank thee, O Lord, for raising him up to start the Bible College and the church and the BP movement in Singapore. For through his ministry and by the empowering of thy Holy Spirit, thou hast used him to bless many, many of our hearts. And we thank thee, O Lord, for using him. And we thank thee, Father, for sustaining him. May thou continue to grant him, together with Mrs. Toh, many more years of faithful and effective service in our midst and beyond the shores of Singapore as well, as thou would encourage him and strengthen him. Grant him, O Lord, the strength that he needs to continue to serve thee faithfully. We thank thee, Father, also for the witness of thy people in this church, especially, Father, as they have planned to go door to door this afternoon to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. May Thou plant in the heart of all Thy children this burden, the burden for the lost, for many are perishing without the Saviour, even in Singapore. O Lord, may Thou put this burden in their hearts, constrained by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that many will sign up for this blessed activity this afternoon, that Thou will grant to them the strength and the words and the wisdom to speak a word for the Lord Jesus Christ, and Thou will prepare the hearts of the residents in Bukit Panjang, that when their door is opened, Thy Holy Spirit may use Thy servant to bring the word, and some souls may come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the faithful ministries of Thy servants. We pray, Father, for Thy protection over each and every one of them, that as they go, O Lord, may Thou accompany them and help them to go in the strength of the Lord and not in their own strength, and help them always to be in much prayer, for they wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places. We pray, Father, also for the Young People's Fellowship going to Sentosa this Saturday. May Thou grant them fair weather, and go ahead of them, O Lord, and protect and watch over the young ones. Even as they fellowship one with another, may they also, Father, bear a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, that others, especially unbelievers, look at their behavior and their conduct. They may see Christ from the way that they speak and from the way that they conduct themselves, even when they fellowship one with another. We thank Thee, Father, for the Bible camp in June that Thou hast organized for Thy people. We pray, Father, for Thy servants who will be bringing Thy word. We pray, Lord, for Reverend Stephen Koo and Reverend Errol Stone, that Thou will use Thy servants mightily to bless the hearts of Thy people who have signed up for this camp, that Thou will go ahead of them and grant to the campers safety in travel there and back to Singapore. But above all, Father, may all campers attend this camp with hearts prepared to meet with Thee, to know that with the fellowship of the saints, they may spend many hours in the study of Thy holy word. Their hearts may be blessed, may be encouraged, and they may all grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that upon their return from the camp, their hearts may be encouraged, and their faith may be strengthened and deepened, and they may have new resolve to serve the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully. We pray, O Lord, for Thy manifold blessings upon the speakers and the campers for this coming camp. We thank Thee, Father, also for the combined True Life YPF and Calvary Pandan YF retreat on June the 5th to the 7th. Be with Thy servant, our brother Nelson, as he brings forth Thy holy word. May the word of God, O Lord, have free reign over the hearts of these young lives, that all who attend may come with hearts prepared to meet with Thee. O Lord, speak to the young people through Thy servant, and bless the hearts of these young people, that they may come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and some may even dedicate their lives to serve Thee until they see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. We pray, Father, for all those who are in beds of affliction, for we know that Thou hast allowed such adversities in our life for a purpose, that we may learn to be still, to know that Thou art God, that even in times such as this, we may continue to praise Thee. We pray, Father, especially for Elder Mahadevan. We thank Thee, O Lord, for improved condition. And we pray, Father, You will sustain him and grant him, O Lord, the joy of the Lord, that as he waits upon Thee, may Thou help him to always be in much prayer. Though the outward body may perish, but the inner man may be renewed day by day as we wait upon Thee. May this be his experience, O Lord. And we pray, Father, also for Mrs. Mahadevan and the family, that Thou will rally the family close to Thee and to one another, that during this time, that Thou will help them to see the hand of God watching over Elder Mahadevan. And we pray, O Lord, and in Your grace, Your mercy, Thou will grant wisdom to the doctors as they treat Elder Mahadevan, that through the treatment, Thou will stop the bleeding, and Thou will strengthen him and enable him, O Lord, to come back into Thy house to worship Thee together with Thy people. For this is our heart's cry, O Lord. We thank Thee, Father, once again, for the preaching of Thy holy word from this pulpit. May thou be pleased, O Lord, once again this morning, to use thy unworthy servant for the preaching of thy inerrant, infallible, divinely inspired and preserved word of everlasting life, that every heart may be blessed and be encouraged through the exhortation from thy holy word and from the power of thy Holy Spirit, for the illumination can come only to us through thy Holy Spirit. O Lord, may thou be pleased to bless thy people this morning for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen. Warm greetings to all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank God for this privilege and honor to be here this morning to share with you from God's Word. O, send out thy light and thy truth. Psalms are cries from God's people, many of them written by King David. Throughout the years of his life as a fugitive and as a king, he struggled. He struggled with his walk with God in trying to be faithful to God, especially in the face of the assaults of enemies, from the vicissitudes of life that sometimes are beyond his control, where the enemies are so overwhelming, so powerful, whereby it is so easy to throw in the towel, to say, I give up, Lord, I do not want to be steadfast. I want to be moved. It's so easy to just simply capitulate. What's the point? Why do I need to struggle? And if I were to just simply surrender, all the burdens, as it were, would be lifted. Have you ever felt that way? To live the Christian life in school or in your workplace, to always walk the straight and narrow path, to step on toes, to be the odd man out, to be the odd woman out in your school and in your place of work, where you try to follow the Christian principles and time again, the people who are below you, the people who are above you, will make it so difficult. And the strength and the desire to compromise is so real. Everybody is doing it. Why can't I just simply go along with the tide? Succumb. Give up. Capitulate. In service, it is not any different. It is the same. When you are serving the Lord faithfully, rest assured, Satan will not leave you alone. When you are lazy, when you're not doing anything, Satan will be very happy. Very happy indeed. But when you want to be zealous, when you want to be fervent, he is going to see you as one of the prime targets. The higher you are, the more faithful you become, the more impact your ministry and your service will be in the lives of other people. He will not leave you alone. And he will ensure that sometimes even the people closest to you will become his tool and his instrument to disobey God, to not do the will of the Father, but to do your own will. How difficult it must have been for the Lord Jesus Christ when he was about to go to the cross, when he told the disciples that I have to go to the cross, for this is the Father's will. And then from the midst of one of the 12 disciples, the inner three disciples, whom Jesus loved tremendously, out of a selfish motive, cried to the Lord Jesus Christ, don't leave us, stay with us, don't go, we need you. They had enjoyed the blessed protection and provision of the Lord Jesus Christ for the past 3.5 years when he walked with them, when he taught them, when he guided them. And then now he was about to leave them, and out of a selfish heart, Peter said, don't leave us, don't go. If it had been a total stranger who means so little to the Lord Jesus Christ, if it had been one of the Pharisees who said the same words, it would not have moved the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as much. For Peter was like his spiritual son. He loved him dearly. And yet, when one so close to the Lord told the Lord, don't go and do the Father's will, do our will, immediately, get thee behind me, Satan, came from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately, and the strength of the word would tell us the strength of the temptation that confronted the Lord Jesus Christ. To stay with the disciples who need me or to whom I love very much, or to do the Father's will whom the Lord has sent me to do for this particular purpose. This is what God had called the Lord Jesus Christ to do. To be our Savior. To go to the cross, a painful way. And here you have someone he loved. Don't go. The struggles in life to walk the straight and narrow path, to be faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ, whether as a living testimony or whether in service, will always be there. It's not going to get any easier with every passing year. Sometimes you wish that would be the case, isn't it? As you grow older physically, you become weaker. You thought that the troubles and the testing and the trials that the Lord will send our way would at least ease up a bit. But it doesn't. How this church came into being is a living testimony of the struggle of the life of a Christian. How hard it must have been for our dear pastor, isn't it, Reverend Toh? To spend the years of his life. This is his life. The church is his life. The BP movement is his life, is his testimony. And to have it wrenched away from him by force, by people who were your spiritual children. You taught them, and they turn around and they snatch it from you. To give up so easy. Likewise, for many of us, you have been serving the Lord, you've been living the life of a Christian. To give up, it's so easy. To be steadfast, to be unmoved by all these vicissitudes, temptations and difficulties is so hard to do. And to continue to do it and to continue to abound in the work of Christ. One of the most difficult verses in the Bible to obey. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So hard to obey. So easy to memorize. So nice to say. And here we have the testimony of the psalmist. Most commentators believe that it was King David who wrote Psalm 43, which is a continuation of Psalm 42, based upon the similarity of these two psalms. And as Pastor had written this book, and you turn to Psalm 43, and you realize the same observation. Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, they are one. Written by King David, the same psalmist, probably going through the same struggle, same difficulty in maintaining his steadfastness, trying his best not to be moved as he served the Lord, as he witnessed for the Lord. The same struggles that we are facing today. Or for every faithful believer throughout the ages, it will be the same kind of struggle. And so out of the struggle, the Spirit of God inspired King David to pen this psalm for our encouragement. The first encouragement to note, to realize and to understand, is found in verse 1 and verse 2. That would be the condition. The conditions that we have to realize throughout life's journey. Different conditions. Sometimes when everything is so peaceful and there is apparently no problems or trials and difficulties in our life, you thank God for every moment like this. But that should not be the norm. When you are serving the Lord, you will find the struggles and the difficulties that you face would be a continuous one. You look at the life of the Apostle Paul. Look at the life of King David. How many years that you can count in your fingers, in your hands, that King David enjoyed as a life that was without problems, without difficulties. The moment he came out of ignominy, he became well known as he was anointed by Samuel. His life started to change. He became more well known, he became very popular, at first as a harpist in the king's palace, to ease the torment that King Saul encountered. Sent by God, of course. And then from Goliath onwards, from the death of Goliath onwards, you know that King David, his life will be turned into a nightmare. He became a fugitive until he became the king of Israel at the age of 30. And once he became king with 9 wives, or 8 wives, and many concubines. Later on, he will have another one, Bathsheba. No end of family problems. And one day, his eldest son kicked him out of the kingdom to humiliate him even further, slept with his concubines on the rooftop for the whole nation to see. And then he had to run again. This time, no more from King Saul, but from his own son. And then when he passed the command, don't kill the son, the son was killed. And he grieved and he mourned for the death of his own son. Can you really count the years that David enjoyed peace and tranquility? Hardly any, isn't it? Look at our own lives, the struggles that we face, the conditions that sometimes God allows us to experience and to go through. And one of these kind of conditions would be adversities, a calamity like what the psalmist encountered in his life. And so he cried to God, judge me, O God. He was not asking God to judge him as if asking God to pronounce sentence upon him. But rather he was crying to God to help him, to ask God to undertake his cause. Judge me, help me, Lord. Take my cause into your hands and guide me and help me through it all. That's the cry. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. When Absalom garnered all the key individuals, rallied them around him to go against the king, he succeeded. He also garnered, as it were, the entire nation to acknowledge that now has risen a new king. And to ensure that this was true, he slept with the father's concubine. That was the thing to do in those days. When you take over the position of the previous king. And he did that. To humiliate the father at the same time to make himself the official new king of Israel. And so, the psalmist cried to the Lord, judge me, examine my heart. Have I done anything wrong? Examine my heart. Is it because of my own mistakes? That's the first thing we have to ask ourselves when we are going through a difficult time. Have I done anything wrong? Search your own heart. Ask God to judge your cause. And if it is not because of any sin that you have done, because if it is a sin that I have committed, be prepared to bear the consequences of your misdeed, of your wrongdoing. If you have been lazy and you cheated in your exam and you get penalized and you get punished, don't say that you are being persecuted for Christ. You are not. Judge me, O God. Plead my cause against an ungodly nation. So the psalmist had examined his own heart. David realized that it was not because of any wrong that he had done, that he now had to be humiliated, that he now had to go through such difficult times. Same with us. Is it truly for the witness of Christ that you are going through adversity? Ask yourself. If you have not done anything wrong and you have to suffer a terminal illness, ask the Lord to strengthen you, to help you. He is able. Very, very able. And he asked the Lord to help him against an ungodly nation. A nation that is not following the will and the way of God. For David was the anointed one. No one must touch the Lord's anointed. But Absalom couldn't care less. The people who sided Absalom couldn't care less. They went against the Lord's anointed. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Absalom's counselor was called Ahithophel. He gave him wicked and evil advice. He encouraged Absalom, continue not only to take over the kingdom, but you must destroy King David in the process. Destroy him completely. Kill him. Pursue after him immediately. Do not delay any longer. You face this kind of enemy before? Their goal and their intent is to get you. And they are not going to stop until they get you. They will try all kinds of ways and means. Fair or foul means. They don't care. They just want to get you, no matter what. You cry to the Lord. You cry to God. The condition of adversity is not enough by itself. Verse 2 tells us that the condition of adversity that God has allowed to come our way is to reduce us to a condition of helplessness. Because very often, we will try to solve our own problems using our own experience, our own abilities. That is normally our first line of solution. We try to do it for ourselves, so if we fail, we can't. Then we start to ask friends and see whether we can pull some strings here or pull some string there. Whatever the difficulties, whatever the problems. And if we can't get things solved through them, then maybe we will pray. And then after prayer, maybe we will read God's word and try to find a solution from God as if He is the emergency exit, the last resort. And God knows that very often we do that. And so many times the adversities that God sent our way will have to drive us to the condition of helplessness. Because if it is not the condition of helplessness that God wants us to be reduced to, we are not going to cry out to God and ask Him to send out His light and His truth. Because we have our own light. We have our own truth. We have our own ability. And so the condition of adversity, time and time again, will drive us to the condition of helplessness, whereby we will simply have to acknowledge that You are my strength, O Lord, for Thou art the God of my strength. You are the one that I want to depend upon. Nowhere else can I turn to but You and You alone. We are at wit's end, O Lord, without Thee to help us. The lawsuit continues on for Dr. To and me. Private lawsuit, and now the latest is the threat of lawsuit against the Board of Elders. It doesn't seem to get any easier. Letters have been sent to the Commercial Affairs Department saying that the pastors have cheated the church money of more than $500,000. Letters have also been sent to the ISD, Internal Security Department. Every department that you can think of in our society. Trying to get us into trouble. What can you do? No strings to pull. Very afraid to even call the lawyer or to write to the lawyer. Because every time you call, every time you write, you pay. And they are so expensive. Don't have the money. Adversities will drive you to utter helplessness. Literally. We have to see the lawyer do what we possibly can to find out from the legal standpoint what are our options. What are the things that we can say, what are the things that we should not say in the event that it can be twisted and turned around to use it against us if we ever have to go to court. And so the injunction or the guideline from our own lawyer is, don't say anything, don't write anything on a private level to this person. Don't do anything or have nothing to do with him. Even if he asks you for the time of day, say, just ignore him. That's what we've been told. Ignore. Complete, total, nothing to do with the person. That's what we have been told to do. For fear that whatever you say, whatever you write, can become a tool, a weapon, used by him for the lawsuit. Private lawsuit, and now the fear is the whole BOE may be called up as well. So all the elders and the pastors who are involved in the discipline may have to go to court. May have to. I pray that we will not have to. But if we have to, we have to. We cannot be cowed. We cannot succumb to threats. Because if we succumb to threats, we might as well don't serve. Don't minister. Every time you want to take somebody to task for sin in the church, discipline the person for adultery or for whatever sin, I sue you. Okay. We don't discipline you, carry on. This seems to be the litigious society that we are living in today. So easy. So I talked to the lawyer and asked the lawyer, that means the rich people can bully poor people. Sad but true. That's the reality of life. So what do? Nowhere to go. No, who can you turn to? Just cry to the Lord. Lord, You are our strength. We cannot trust or depend in the arms of men. Cannot trust in the arms of the flesh. You are you alone who can help us. What can we do? Who can we go to? Well, we go to the Lord. We cry to Him. And we know that He will help. His help is far above any human help. How He confounded the counsel of Ahithophel. At the end of it, Ahithophel committed suicide and Absalom himself lost. And David was put back as king. The secret meetings of evil men, how they try to connive and plot and plan behind closed doors, hoping to destroy the work, destroy God's servants, God's people, destroy the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You pray. And you know the Lord is able to confound the wisdom of any man. No matter where they hide, no matter where they go, they can never hide from the all-knowing, all-seeing God. God knows and God hears and God sees exactly what they are doing and what they are saying. God knows. And therefore we must continue to look up. Always cry to the Lord. Because the conditions and adversities have been allowed by God to reduce us to the conditions of helplessness. So that when we cry to the Lord, we truly cry to the Lord from the depths of our hearts. Because when we are not driven to the state of helplessness, the natural tendency is to half-heartedly, perfunctorily just say some words that appear theologically correct, but it's not from the heart. When we are driven to helplessness, where we know that no one can help us except and unless God is the only one who can help us. You know how sincere, how full of faith your prayers are. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? You feel sometimes so downcast, so alone, as if even God might have deserted you because His help has not come yet, has not arrived yet. Don't give up. Remain steadfast and wait. Our God will never be too early, because if He's too early, we may miss and we may not see that it is His hand. It is God who is helping me. And God will never be too late whereby we will have succumbed. God will always be on time. Don't give up. Don't ever, ever give up. The conditions that God has allowed us to go through, the condition of adversity, which will reduce us to the condition of helplessness, have been allowed by God for a purpose, to drive us to Him. He will never forsake us. He will never leave us comfortless. That's His promise. And God always keeps His promise. Continue to serve Him faithfully. And when we realize the conditions, and then the cry for deliverance. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. God's light, when we are walking through that dark tunnel. What a most appropriate word it is. God's light. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. God's light that is able to help us see into the darkest circumstances of our lives. No matter how dark and how difficult the circumstances of life might be, God will help us through it all. This past couple of weeks have been very difficult for a family in our church. The daughter is 20 years old, studying in the polytechnic in the final year and preparing to graduate, and then suddenly discovered some pain in the stomach. Apparently it was discovered that it is cancerous in the ovary. The growth was the size of a tennis ball. Initial diagnosis, not cancerous. And so the surgery was immediate and they removed the cancer and then sent it for biopsies. With the initial diagnosis, not cancerous, but just a couple of days ago, the doctor told the girl that it was. And it was devastating. First there was the pain, everything was so normal, and then the pain. And then the mother warded her, surgery, with the good news that it most likely was not cancerous. Everybody was rejoicing, everybody was so happy, especially the family, the parents. And then now the news turned for the worse. Stage 3. Cancer. So now they have to prepare her mentally for chemotherapy. Very difficult time. She's known and well-liked by the young people in our church. And now all the young people in our church are affected. How will this affect the family in the days and the weeks to come? We will see. The mother, the father, we pray that they will be drawn closer to the Lord. The girl is asking, I'm still young. Why is this happening to me? I have my life ahead of me. Why must this occur in my heart, in my life? She's searching. Searching her own soul. Praying and crying that the Lord will show her His light. Let her understand. What can we say? We pray. We pray with her. We do whatever we can. Her birthday is just next month, after the church camp. She had planned to go to the church camp, but now she couldn't. She had to stay behind for chemotherapy. The younger sister also intended to go. We are now not sure whether she would like to go with the older sister in this condition, in this frame of mind. And her own frame of mind is also very badly affected because the sisters were very close. They are very close to one another. The older and the younger. Calamities, adversities, vicissitudes of life are common. Especially when you want to serve the Lord as Christians. We know we have to go through them. We know we have to endure them. Time and time again. Search our own hearts. If not for any sin, if it is for sin, repent and ask the Lord to forgive us. The Lord wants us to walk close to Him. And when we are going through difficult times and we cry to the Lord, oh, send out thy light. Help me to see and understand, O Lord, that when I go through, I will not say anything to cause me to curse you and die. Like what Job's wife told Job to do. Why don't you curse God and die from one who is closest to Him, whom he was supposed to expect help from his helpmeet? Instead, the helpmeet turn around and try to make life even more difficult for him. He had lost everything, his wealth, he has lost his children, and now he has lost his health, and all the wife could do was to curse God and die. Thank God Job did not utter those words. The Lord had given, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord has given us health, the Lord can take away our health, but make sure that it is the blessing of the God that we utter from our lips and from our hearts. Most important, from our hearts, that what we say comes from our hearts, that we really mean it. Whatever struggles, whatever difficulties you are going through, like the psalmist, cry to the Lord. Ask the Lord to send out His light and to send out His truth. We have the truth that's in God's Word to guide us, to help us through whatever difficulties. You can find the answer from God's Word, especially from the Psalms. Read this book. It will be the balm to our soul. A book by your pastor that explains in a nutshell the essence of the Psalms, all 150 of them. Read them for our comfort, for our encouragement, especially when we are going through a difficult time. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. For what purpose? And to let God's light and God's truth to lead me. To lead me. To guide me. That's the path of continuation right through the end of the tunnel. And then after the end of the tunnel, you go through one adversity, then you may have a moment of peace and tranquility, and then another adversity will come, and then a moment of peace and tranquility, another adversity. It doesn't stop. Perhaps until you breathe your last breath. You look at the life and the ministry of Charles Spurgeon, very similar. Many have said that the reason why he died was because of the downgrade controversy. The Baptist movement and union that he founded, that he established, turned against him. And it broke his heart. It broke his heart. And they say that that may have caused him to die. People he loved, people he cared for, the ministry that he defended, and now had turned and been used by Satan, no more for the cause of God, is now turned for the cause of Satan. No more for the cause of Christ, but the cause of Satan. Let them lead me. Let them lead me out of this dark tunnel. Destination, bring me to thy holy hill. That is Mount Zion. To God's holy hill where the tabernacle was located. And to thy tabernacles, plural. Why plural? Because in the tabernacle there are a couple of rooms. The holiest place and the holy place. To thy tabernacles. That's why the plural is used. To the very presence of God himself. That's the picture of the tabernacle. The home of God. The dwelling place of God. Pray and ask God to lead us, especially in moments of greatest difficulty and darkness, enter into the light of God, the very presence of God himself when you pray. And the Lord will give you the peace and the calmness within your soul as you wait upon the Lord, as you spend time alone with God. He will be there to send you his light and his truth, and he will lead you all the way through, right up to his very presence, to his holy hill and to the tabernacles. The holy place and the holy of holies. That veil that has been broken, torn from top to bottom when the Lord Jesus Christ uttered the words, "It is finished." That means right into the very heart of God, isn't it? And that's where all of us must go to when we go through difficulties in life. No man, no human being can help us better than God himself. Oh, Lord, send out thy light and thy truth and lead me. Lead me all the way into thy holy presence. That's the cry for deliverance. And then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my God. And so what do you do when the Lord leads you all the way to his holy presence? You praise him. Then I will go to the altar of God and unto God my exceeding joy. He is the source of my joy, that even in the darkest moment, the darkest hour, the joy in our hearts remain. We're not asking you to laugh out loud like a madman. It doesn't mean that you laugh out loud like someone who is attending a party. But the joy that stems from our hearts is inside. So much so that the Apostle Paul, while he was languishing in prison, could write his prison epistles, especially the epistle to the Philippians. Rejoice evermore! One of his happiest, most rejoicing epistles you could ever think of. And he wrote it while he was in prison. Dark, damp, rat-infested, dirty, cold, and all alone. Chained to a soldier. Did not have his freedom. Prepared to die. And yet he wrote this wonderful, tremendous epistle of encouragement. Telling the Christians, rejoice evermore. Don't stop rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing. How is it possible? Because when you are in the presence of God, when you come before the Lord, when you spend time with the Lord, this is the obvious outcome. Natural outcome. Then will I go unto the altar of God. Unto God my exceeding joy. He is your exceeding joy. Not the gifts, but the giver. Not the things, not the circumstances, but the person. Whereby your joy is not based upon the circumstances of life. Like what Satan, remember Satan challenged God? Sure, Job will love you and worship you because he is healthy, he is wealthy, he has everything that money can buy. Of course he will worship you faithfully. You take away all these things and see whether he will curse you and be unfaithful to you. Alright? You take away all these things. Satan's mentality, thinking that we worship the Lord because of the blessings that he has given to us. Because we have money, because we have health, therefore we worship the Lord. That's Satan's mentality. So sometimes adversities will come. Where we may lose our wealth, where we may lose our health. Will you still rejoice and praise the Lord and thank him? That is the true test of one who really believes in the one living and true God. Not because of the external, but because of the internal, inside. Like what the psalmist cried. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. God is my exceeding joy. not my money, not my health, not my friends, not my family, not my freedom, not even my life, but God Himself is my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise Thee, O God, my God. The harp is the instrument that is commonly used for praise and for worship and for thanksgiving. You also find them in heaven, in the book of Revelation, where there will be the saints in heaven with the glorified body playing the harps, rejoicing and thanking God for all eternity. And how will I praise Thee, O God, my God? Personal pronoun, my God. Not just God, not just the God of the whole universe, not just the God of the world, where He is, who He is, but my God, my personal God, a God whom I have personal feelings and relationship with. I cry to Him, He speaks with me, He helped me, He understands me. My God. I cry for deliverance. Then, from the condition of adversity, driving us to the condition of helplessness, and now we have the cry for deliverance from our hearts because of the state that we are in, and how He will lead us to His very presence. And that will result in a transformation of our countenance. The countenance of hope, the countenance of praise, and the countenance of health. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why is there still this downcast look in your heart, in your soul? Lift up, thank God, be happy, rejoice, no matter what calamities you are facing, whatever lawsuit, whatever difficulty, whatever problems, you leave it to the Lord. You can still rejoice, because very often if we don't, we are going to take it out on people closest to us. Our children, our wife, they are going to face the onslaught of our frustration and all kinds of struggles that we have. The people closest to us will always get it, true? But when we calm down and we trust in the Lord and to have the joy of the Lord in our heart, we can say from our heart, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Why are you so troubled? Why are you mourning? Why are you groaning? Hope in God, the countenance of hope. You can see the Lord helping you. Hope in Him. Hope in God. Don't give up. Don't ever think of suicide. Christians, never think of suicide. Never will commit suicide. Never. Because your hope will always be in God. You always have God to guide you, to help you, to encourage you. Hope in God. The countenance of hope is such a blessed, wonderful truth that the world cannot experience, the world cannot know. Only Christians can experience, only Christians can know. To have this hope, hope that God will always be there to hold your hand, to lead you, to guide you, and to help you, and to encourage you. For I shall yet praise Him, the countenance of praise. And when we have hope, we will come and then we will sing hymns and we will really sincerely praise Him from our hearts. Countenance of hope, countenance of praise. And who is the health? The word health there is literally the word salvation. The word for Jesus, Joshua. Salvation. Who is the salvation of my countenance and my God? Both these Psalms, 42 and 43, you realize that the word Jehovah is never used. It's always Elohim. The reason is that the psalmist was crying to God based upon the power of who God is, the God who is able to help us. That's why Elohim is used throughout these two Psalms. The covenant relationship that David had with his God is never in doubt. But now he is crying to the same covenantal God who has helped him, who has saved him all these years when he was a little lad helping, looking after his father's sheep and helped him through Goliath, through his fugitive years, and now through this difficult time with Absalom and on beyond that. God will always be there. And so he cried to Elohim. The powerful God, God Almighty, He is my God. He is able to help me from the depths of His heart. And God wants all of us that we may remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you are living a wonderful testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ in school and in your workplace and you are facing difficulties, don't give up. Don't ever give up. Continue to be His wonderful witness. And if you are serving Him, faithfully giving out tracts, faithfully preaching the word, faithfully serving in any capacity in the church, and even when nobody pats you in the back, nobody recognizes you, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You continue to serve the Lord faithfully, remain steadfast and unmoved by the adversities, knowing that your Heavenly Father has allowed such adversities to come during the many phases of our life until we reach heaven, that we may be reduced to a condition of helplessness, so that we may cry out for deliverance, and with that cry, God will help us, that we may have the countenance of hope, the countenance of praise, and the countenance of joy, of health, of salvation in God. Not in the things that we have, but in God, because that is the true state of every Christian. We love Him, we worship Him simply because He is the one living and true God. Not because we have a nice church, not because we have a big bank account, not because we have health, but simply because He is God. And we are His creatures, and He has saved us. We are His children. Trust Him that come what may, He will never, never leave us. Oh, send out Thy light and Thy truth, O God. May we have the light and His truth, and may we experience it in our day-to-day lives as we serve Him, as we live for Him faithfully. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we bow humbly before Thy holy presence, O Lord, acknowledging that Thou art the one living and true God, and Thou who has first loved us by sending Thy only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us, and Thou hast saved us to the uttermost. Thou hast raised Him from the dead for our justification. And we thank Thee, Father, for lives so rich and so free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for some of us who may be going through adversities in life because of our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, because of our service for Him, help us, Father, to remain steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. For we know that such adversities have been allowed by Thee to draw us closer to Thee. And help us, Father, not to give up. For Thou art our hope, our strength, our health, our joy, our salvation. And no man can take this from us. For this has been given to us through the blood of Thy only begotten Son, Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. O Lord, strengthen the resolve of all Thy people in True Life BP Church, that they may live for the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may serve Him faithfully, fervently, zealously, never giving up. For their hope is in Thee and Thee alone. Bless Thy people, O Lord, with Thy truth, for Thy word is truth. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.